Welcome to Listening Well. I'm your host, Stephanie. Today, founder of Love Bonito, Rachel Lim, joins me for an enriching conversation. We go deep in this one, guys, like real heartfelt stuff. Rachel is known in Singapore for impressively growing her $500 blog shop outfit into a multi-million dollar international label. But aside from being ultimately in the business of women, she is an avid self-starter whose mantra is to live life on the edge, but also with immense self-awareness. She has made a huge impact on the community of inspirational and empowering women worldwide, and she uses her voice to engage and relate and connect with other women. So I hope that you enjoy this conversation with founder of Love Bonito, Rachel Lim. You know, when I think of you, I think of this powerhouse of a woman. In Chinese, they call it Nü Qiang Ren. And literally, that is my, when I think of you, I think of that definition.
Oh, thank you, babe. And thank you so much, firstly, for doing what you're doing with this podcast. It's really amazing. And I think it's what the world needs more of. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. You didn't prep me for anything, so I don't know what to expect. And I'm all yours for the next however long you need me.
Yeah, and that was kind of on purpose because I'm not here to talk so much about the business aspect of things. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know more about your inner world. You know, there are no shortages of articles about what you've done and how you've brought your $500 blog shop. God, I mean, do you remember those days of blog shops? My goodness. And now you have this one of Asia's leading fashion brands. Mm. And, you know, how does it feel to hear that? To go from, you know, you started from the, well, bottom is subjective, but now you're here. How does that feel?
It feels absolutely surreal, I think. Yeah, even to hear you talk about it or introduce it, I think for me, every day it's like living a dream, getting to do what I love and to surround myself with people smarter than me in different disciplines and get to work with really like-hearted, great, smart, driven people who really just want to make an impact in the world and who really just want to also, you know, use this platform to discover their gifts, their callings, their potential. So yeah, that's been a real, for me, a privilege.
And you are expanding beyond the shores of Singapore, right? You've gone into Indonesia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Cambodia, Australia, and now the United States. And you've just come back from the U.S.
Yes, I have. From the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. When you think about the gifts and all of the, you know, the joys of just being international now, what have you learned in this process?
I've learned that while we may all seem very different in culture, you know, even like with the weather, little things like that, while we all seem very different, we're actually not so different at the core of it all. What we're craving at the end of the day is to discover and find our voice, our confidence, and to find the courage to be ourselves. And that is the beauty of really, for me, having been able to, you know, experience and get to know the different communities from different parts of the world.
How do you think that the different cultures build the confidence in their own ways? Like, what are there nuances there?
For sure. And for us in Love Bonito, we really focus on the Asian women. And you talk about the Asian culture, it's so different from anything else. We grew up with the, you know, the kind of upbringing, the parents, the expectations, the pressure. There's so much nuances that go behind it that only a fellow Asian or who has been brought up in an Asian family or Asian culture would really understand the kind of difficulties, struggles, or even privileges that we have. And that's something that connects and unites all of us, Asian women, in different parts of the world, where we talk through the difficulties, the struggles and expectations that our parents had that also, you know, because of that, led us to who we are today. And you really connect through the understanding and the difficulties and the joys of all of that. So that's been really beautiful.
When you talk about struggles of being, you know, the Asian woman and having all those expectations brought upon you, how do you,
I don't want to say, you know, use your brand to help with that or alleviate those struggles or exude a bit more confidence in that person. But, you know, I mean, you are an inspiration to so many women, and that's part of your job, or not your job, but your prerogative is to inspire women to be more confident. How do you do that? That might be a loaded question, I realize, but you know, how do you guide people from struggle and maybe just not feeling like themselves, like you said, like their true self, to embracing that?
For sure. I think one key thing about connection is vulnerability. It's really being able to be open for myself to come out publicly, to talk about my struggles, my failures, my mistakes, to talk about, you know, how in early on in my journey, you know, growing up in a traditional Asian family, my parents expected me to, you know, graduate from university, to expected me to, you know, at least hopefully be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, or something, you know, and at the very least to have a certificate that I could fall back on. And unfortunately or unfortunately, my path wasn't that way, right? Where I dropped out of university and I decided to start the business Love Bonito proper with my co-founders. And that was a real shocker to my parents, who were, you know, very traditional in thinking. And not, of course, I don't blame them, but for me, you know, going through that journey where I decided that I wanted to choose myself and my future and to listen to that still small voice versus just fitting into a mold of what society or even my parents expected me to be. And I think along the way in my journey as well, coming out to share a lot about the mistakes, the failures, the struggles that I have very openly, also really maybe encourage women out there to say that, wow, if she struggles with it and can overcome it or is learning to overcome it, so can I. And that's the point of connection for me, where people get to know the brand, they read up more about it, they understand its mission. And for us, fashion is just a vehicle for us to reach out to women. At the end of the day, we are not in the business of fashion. We believe that we're in the business of women.
I love that.
And really to inspire a woman to come into her own, come into her own calling, come into her own voice, come into her own courage. And along the way in Love Bonito's journey, we also share a lot of real women's stories. Women who have tried, who have failed, who have conquered, you know, real women's stories like that to also inspire the rest of us that, hey, wow, if she can take a leap of faith in that way, or if she can, you know, push boundaries in other ways, the possibilities are endless. And that for us is something that is so precious and something that we really don't take for granted. Over the last decade, we've really had the privilege of, you know, building a strong community, you know, to have the influence over them. And for us, you know, also asking ourselves, in the next decade, how can we continue to solidify that, to continue to stay close to them and to inspire them into the next phase of what it means, you know, to really come into their own.
Beautiful. I mean, you definitely are on a mission to inspire, but you bring up that big V word, right? Vulnerability. And it just seems as though that is quite a hot topic at the moment. Mm-hmm. And it is wonderful to see so many people being vulnerable about their shortcomings or just the stuff that they need to work on, you know, because it's like when addressing that, that's when true growth can happen.
Yeah.
Right. Growth, like the growth mindset of things, mm-hmm. not thinking that you're just all perfect and fine and let's continue. It's like, it's almost, I forget who I heard it from, but there was this beautiful phrase, make your mess your message.
Yeah.
I love that, you know? I'm like, we're and all like messy.
Your testimony and something like that. Yeah, so I think it's true that we're all messy, and sometimes the world portrays, firstly, success is such a huge word that everyone has different definitions of. And for the longest time, success has been tied to our careers, our financial abilities. And for me, really, you know, I think this was like 6 years ago, I came across this quote by this American philosopher, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he said, to be yourself in a world that's constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. Not to earn your first million, to drive your first supercar, to buy your first big house, But the biggest, the greatest accomplishment in life at the end of the day is to be yourself in a world that's constantly trying to fill you up with so much noise, distractions.
Put you in a box, right?
Put you in a box.
System, structure.
Yeah, or to tell you what you need to be, what you don't need to be. And there's so much pressure around that. And all of us, we're all in our journeys of discovering who we are. And really, to me, at the end of the day, being vulnerable is also really about being absolutely self-aware. You know, I truly believe that at the end of the day, God has given us, each of us, a very different gift, talent, ability. And He has also intentionally left out certain bits in us. And I think for me, it's also not so much about, okay, keep constantly wishing I was someone else, something else, more like something else. For me, it's also focusing on what we have, you know, honing it, being responsible for the gifts that we have, and being absolutely, you know, responsible to use that to serve the world. And then surrounding myself with people differently abled than me, who have different gifts to make a greater impact together. So to your point on, you know, using our mess as a message, it's really easier said than done, Steph, because I think so many times, you know, especially when you're out there, people look at you a certain way, they expect a certain, I don't know, behavior or I don't know, so just have different expectations of you. It's really hard. And for me, which is also why, you know, at the beginning of this year, I started, you know, my passion project and a sharing called Rich Reflects. And what I do is I committed to, you know, every Sunday, every week, every Sunday, I'm committed to sharing on my social media platform something that I've learned, I've read, that has impacted me, what I've learned about it, or a lesson that I'm going through a mistake that I've made.
And so is this through written form?
Yeah, so this is on a written form, pure text on copy, where I just, you know, share, I just really write out in paragraphs, you know, what I went through recently, what I learned from it, you know, down to like from the areas of motherhood, how I'm struggling, what helped me along the way to my marriage, honest conversations that my husband had with me that really broke me, and my lesson from it to leadership, what I'm learning, the areas that I'm working on and developing. And that has been, for me, almost cathartic, where I get to also share with the world that, hey, I'm learning, I'm growing, and I'm not perfect at all. And it was inspiring to so many women to see that, wow, what I'm going through, I'm not alone.
Yeah,
she goes through struggling with comparing herself to others. She goes through struggling with, you know, prioritizing in this season, work, her career, her relationships, or her baby. She goes through times with her husband where, you know, it's tough, it's difficult. We have had to have really, really hard conversations, you know, and things like that. So I think that has been, for me, also a great avenue where I get to connect with more women.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, it is, like you said, difficult to be vulnerable. So, you know, when you do that cathartic process, whether it's, you know, through Rach Reflects, you write it out, you've gotten that out. I almost like to think of it as like you're clearing the garbage from within. You're just letting it out.
Yeah.
And then what do you have any methods of just sort of instilling or infusing the new energy?
100%, right?
Yeah, so what does that look like?
Yeah. So for me, you know, why sharing on Rich Reflects is so natural for me, it's also because I journal a lot. I get it out there, right? I believe, Steph, that we don't learn from our experiences. We learn from reflected experiences. So it's only when you take time to reflect on what you had gone through, the lessons that you had learned from it, how we could have done better, that you truly are learning from the experiences. Two persons can go through one same experiences. But why is it that someone can come out defeated, bitter, but someone else can come out positive and stronger? So I really believe in that. So that letting out has been important. Now, when we talk about letting out, like you said, it also needs to be that focus on feeding ourselves, feeding my mind, feeding my heart. And for me, that has come through several different forms that has really helped me. Number one, therapy and coaching. That has been hugely instrumental and transformational for me. You know, I think in Asia especially, you know, we have this mindset that, okay, oh, if you go to a therapist or a coach, oh my God, something must be wrong with you, or you must have a serious mental issue. Mm. And I really want to debunk that. I want to normalize coaching and going to therapy, because that has been, for me, something that has helped me unknot some of the deepest, you know, struggles and knots that I've had within myself, to help me see myself and what I'm really going through so much better, to help me articulate the deepest thoughts or even fears that I've had within myself that I could never get out on my own. So that's one. Listening to podcast episodes like this, like what you're doing, I think, you know, has been so helpful also in feeding my mind, listening to stories from other people, what has helped them, listening to their journeys. And that's something that I do every day, every morning while I'm getting ready for work. After I shower, after I dry my hair, you know, so I start my podcast, you know, when I'm going to put on my makeup, skincare, getting ready, and on my commute to work. I listen to a podcast or two episodes, and then reading. You know, when I started the business and in my journey, and basically, you know, I was an entrepreneur even before entrepreneur really became a term in that sense, right? Today, it's so common. There's so many inspirations and stories out there. But when I started 15 years ago, Steph, you know, I had no business background, no fashion background, no design background, nothing. I had to learn everything on the go. And reading helped me so much in my journey. Learning from people's journeys, learning from their mistakes, learning from their lessons helped me tremendously in my journey as a leader, you know, as a person. And I think these are some ways, right? Like therapy, coaching, podcast episodes, and reading, for example, have helped me so much in ensuring that I take care of what's within myself and to constantly, you know, fill myself with good content.
Like you're watering your garden, thoughts. Right? Yeah. From within, you just have to keep watering it.
Exactly.
And I think you've done our listeners such a service by demystifying this whole therapy thing, because you're so right. Because often the issues that we have are with the people that are most important to us. And then, man, the
100%.
triggers, the reactions, the behavior that comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you're talking to someone who's so objective, the same thing can happen.
100%.
But you see things objectively.
Yes.
And you're not reacting.
Yeah.
And that can be so eye-opening and so helpful. So I really do thank you. You know, it's so funny because, like, you know, when I tell my mom, my Chinese mom, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to therapy, you know,
and
she's just like, wait, why?
Yeah.
Is that something? Can you not function in society? I'm like, no, mom, I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still functioning.
Yeah.
Maybe I could, I just, you know, there's a few, I need a little help.
Well,
you know?
Of course, right? To me, I see it also like we service our cars once in a while. Why don't we service ourselves? Or like just, you know, and like a coach, I always see a coach like an athlete and his coach, Michael Jordan and his coach, like they help us with our blind spots. They push us further in certain directions. So yeah, for me, that's something I really believe in.
100%, girl. Yeah. Preach. You know, you were mentioning earlier that you surround yourself with people who are inspiring and that uplift you. And I, you know, I have been to your office here in Singapore, and you know, you've really spread across Asia and now the United States. You know, what kind of qualities do you look for when you bring people to join the Love Benito family that sort of lift you up? Like, I'm just curious because I want to know what energies you surround yourself with that keep this really positive mind state going.
Yeah. You know, today, and you specifically ask about, you know, especially the kind of people we look for in Love Benito. So today, I think that a lot of us, we can do very well in interview settings where we can say the right thing. We will share about our achievements in our career, what we've done. But a lot of times, I think, when you poke deeper and when you drill further and when you take them out of that interview office setting, you really also get to see a different side of them, which is really important. Firstly, one of the key things that I look for is, well, I can't decide which one goes first, you know, but I'll start with self-awareness. How self-aware this person is. I believe that we can't grow, we can't develop, we can't learn, unlearn, relearn if we're not self-aware of ourselves. And this is really also recognizing beyond what our abilities, strengths, weaknesses are, really recognizing our triggers and, you know, really recognizing what kind of person that I am, you know, my principles, my values, my triggers, my current struggles in this season and what I'll need to do about it. There is so much that we can read, we can do, we can send you for as many causes as possible. But if you're not self-aware, you're not going to grow because you're not going to think that, you know, this is for you, this message is for you, or this course is for you, or this learning is for you. So self-aware for me, I think it's key, and recognizing that at the end of the day, we all need each other to thrive. And self-aware enough to know that this is what I've been gifted with, this is my responsible, and this is what I'm going to do to use it to serve the organization, my team, and my community.
Can you give me an example of the signs of self-awareness? Like, how do you know that someone is self-aware?
Yeah.
What are the signs?
Yeah. I think, you know, in questioning and asking them deeper about, beyond everything that you've achieved. And for me, it's also, you know, the role that you played in this particular achievement. You hear them talk about, you hear them talk about their team. Tell me a little bit more about your team, you know, and tell me a little bit more about the impact that you've made on your team. Mm. And then we talk about, tell me about areas that you're focusing on, or, you know, you're working on, you're developing on. Tell me about areas that, you know, on your own free time, you know, you're reading up on, or whatever, you're just finding out more, spending time on. You know, tell me about a time where you had an incident, where you had a disagreement or a conflict with someone, and hearing their reflections about it.
So, like, values almost?
If they always talk about, I had a disagreement with my manager because, you know, and everything is about that person that has done me wrong, therefore the conflict happened, but nothing about, on hindsight, this was what I could have done better, even though, you know, and things like that.
Ownership.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Ownership, taking responsibility, you know, and things like that. So I think these are signs. And the other thing that I really look out for is humility, the ability to also be able to give credit to others. I believe that none of us got to where we are by our own strength. Everything is because someone laid the groundwork for us or built it alongside with us. And to hear them talk about their achievements is also very key for me to understand, okay, you know, is this person, you know, egoistic and prideful in a sense where he or she thinks that, oh, everything is, all the achievements is because of him and all the failures is because of everyone else. Things like that, the ability to recognize, give credit, you know, give praise, to celebrate others, that is absolutely crucial.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said, babe. You are the figure of women's empowerment, right? You know, I mean, does that make you feel kind of uncomfortable? Like, because that is how you're painted. I'm just letting you know.
Well, but I think for me, I'm genuinely passionate about this space, right? Whether I'm the figure or not, I think there's a lot that goes behind, like, you know, a whole village.
Of course.
Yeah, but yes, I think for us, at least Le Bonito, really, it wants to be a champion in this space.
And what are the values when you think of, especially women's empowerment, not just self-empowerment and being the best version of yourself, which is sort of the tagline of this particular podcast, but as a woman, you know, what are the values that you think all women, even especially, you know, my listeners right now, like, what should they reflect on when it comes to walking around with a little more confidence, with an air of, oh yeah, I actually have got this. I'm not doubting myself. I don't walk around with imposter syndrome, which I don't know if you've experienced before.
100%.
You know.
So recently I heard this podcast by Adam Grant and Reese Witherspoon where he said, you know, and she was sharing her experiences on self-doubts, imposter syndrome, and she was saying, do you know how many times I nearly threw in the towel for my main role in Walk the Line, which she eventually won an Oscar for. Mm. She couldn't get out of bed. She was struggling, like trembling every day, just the thought of like having to perform in this role. She doubted herself so much. There were so many times she called her lawyer to read through all the contracts to see if there's any way she could worm out of the role. She called her team to let the production team know that, you know, she's thinking twice, she might not show up for, and things like that. Basically, we've all been through that to some extent. And she said, actually, you know, Adam Grant was asking her, Reese, what got you through at the end of the day that even made you not just survive it, but thrive? You freaking won an Oscar award for that. She said, you know, Adam, just taking a deep breath every day, working so damn hard because we really need to, you know, hone our skills and produce results and give ourselves confidence to prove to ourselves that, hey, I can do it, or, you know, showing up every day and building our confidence along the way. And she also said, and to remind myself that if the producer or the director or someone gave me this opportunity, he or she must see something or believe something in me. And she clung on to that.
So she kept that as like the guiding compass.
Exactly.
To keep her show, to make sure that she could show up every
day.
Yes,
exactly. Stay. And for us as well, you know, sometimes we always get it wrong. We think that, okay, when I feel confident, when I'm 100% confident, then I will take on a certain task. Then I will take on a certain role. And for women, you know that this is so true. There was a Forbes study which showed that women are not any less competent than men, but confidence matters as much as competence. And the research also shows that, you know, as compared to men, women tend to always feel that they need to meet 10 out of 10 criteria in a job description or a job scope in order to apply for a job or a promotion. But for men, if they feel that they met 4 out of 10, they would raise their hands and go for it. Now, this is something that, you know, Adam Grant was also saying, that so many of us get this wrong. On the flip side, we think that we need to be 100% confident before we pursue or take on something. But actually, it's the reverse, where the more you take on, you know, responsibilities or challenges, and the more you prove to yourself along the way that, hey, wow, in the little wins that I have every day, I actually surprised myself, I can do it. It builds confidence. And the next day I show up again, I work hard and I perform. And it builds confidence. And it's through that, you know, you really conquer your own self-doubts, critics, negativity that you have.
Yeah, it's a nagging one, isn't it?
It is. So really, you know, at the end of the day, it's not waiting to feel confident, but really, it's doing it and the confidence will come along the way.
Yeah, just showing up, doing it. Even if you're making mistakes, learning from your mistakes.
Pick yourself up.
Moving forward.
Yes, and believe in your ability to learn. You know, I believe that imposter syndrome is like, oh, I don't know this, so I can't do it. But really, confidence is, I don't know this yet, and I'm going to find out, and I'm going to do it.
Beautiful. I feel just so inspired in this moment. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of other aspects of your life, and one that I can't really disregard before we round up our conversation is your role as a mother.
Yeah.
You're now a mother.
I am.
You have Ollie. You've almost like said goodbye to your old self, which is, you know, it's like, goodbye, you know, and you've embraced this new self. And, you know, how has that been like for you? What have you learned? What do you miss? You know, is that a loaded question? You seem a bit hesitant.
There's so much to unpack. And it's something that I constantly reflect on. Because, Steph, I have dreamed of being a mom ever since I was a child. You know, growing up, I grew up with 2 other brothers and 14 other cousins. You know, and we've always, it's kind of like, you know, that village where we hang out, we grow up together and we take care of the younger cousins and things like that. So I've always loved, you know, being in that nurturing motherly role. And growing up, I knew that, you know, I would want to have kids, 3 kids if possible. And along the way, you know, while building Love Bonito.
Which is sort of a baby in yourself, right?
It is. And I put off having a child for the longest time, at least 5 years, because I thought to myself, like, okay, you know, Love Bonito needs me the most in this season. I can't afford to be distracted by anyone else, you know. I kept putting it off and I realized that, oh my God, I'm getting older and I don't seem to be getting any less busier. And I realized that it hit me that there is no right time.
Mm.
And part of me, which I only got to unpack through a lot of reflection and honest conversations with myself, was that I had this innate fear that if I were to have a kid, it would take away time from me building the business. And it would then take away my perceived self-worth. Because for all my life, that's all I knew. Being needed at work, being being, you know, building Love Bonito with a great team, just surrounding myself in my career and my entrepreneurship journey. And what's going to be of me if I were to, you know, take time away to focus on my family, my child, and building a home beyond building a business? So that, and you know, that was when I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to start trying and let's see how it goes. And it took me a while to get pregnant, about a year. And, you know, Ollie came and he was everything I hoped for and more. And I think, you know, this whole journey is also actually, you know, having a child. Ollie is turning 2 in December as we speak. But, you know, having a child has also revealed so much about me to myself. Like my triggers, you know, like the if you know, I react to a certain thing that he does or doesn't do, I realize that, wow, this is because it's triggering a certain part of me and that is coming from either expectations from society or the way I was brought up, that I didn't want Ollie, you know, certain aspects of my upbringing that I didn't want Ollie to also have. And to recognize that took a lot of like self-awareness and honesty. So I think for me, it's really been such a journey, right? Beyond like discovering more about myself and the way I want to make sure I bring Ollie up, not in the way that I want to impose my own expectations on him, but really seeing him as such a precious human being and discovering more about him and really grooming, not grooming, but
like modeling agencies.
No, but really developing him into more of who he's meant to be.
Yeah.
More than who I want him to be. So that's one.
Yeah.
And then the other part is also, wow, okay, you know, I believe that, you know, when I go through different seasons, we juggle different responsibilities. I wear different hats as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter, as, you know, as a business owner. And I really believe there were times where I felt so overwhelmed that definitely I dropped the ball on my marriage. So one day my mentor told me, she said, actually, when you juggle different balls, you have to recognize that some of the balls are made of glass, some of the balls are made of rubber, where if you drop the rubber ball, it will bounce back up and it'll be okay. You know, you're not going to lose anything about it. But if you drop a responsibility that is made of glass to you, you have to recognize what is glass, what is rubber to you. But if you drop something that's made of glass, it would never be the same. It would shatter and it would never be the same. Mm. And I learned it the hard way, Steph, where, you know, during a period, and this happened only about, I think, August this year, where I gave all of myself to my son and whatever is left of me to my work. And basically nothing for a prolonged period of time to my husband, where, you know, to my marriage and investing in it. And you know, he kept, you know, like getting my attention, you know, basically wanting to, you know, just talk, build a relationship. And it wasn't until one day, Steph, he couldn't get through to me. And I would always like prioritize everyone and everything but him. And I always tell him, no, but you know, this is so important. That is like, okay. So one day I remember, you know, I was on a work trip and he sent me a whole long email with the title, A Cry for Help. Mm. And, you know, Steph, when I read it, my first reaction was, I was so angry, I was so defensive. Mm. But after everything sank in, I'm so grateful that he wrote it over email versus a text where it's like blue ticked and I'm pressured to respond or react immediately. But when I read through it again and again, his words kept ringing in my head, where really it's a cry for help for my attention. And that was when it broke me, because it's like, wow, is this really what I want for the rest of my life, to continue down this path where I neglect my marriage, which to me is a glass ball? Is this really what I want? And I had to really question myself and reprioritize everything again, and to come to terms that, wow, you know, this is important to me in this season, and this is not something I want to neglect. And that really sparked so much of me, you know, and to recognize that, you know, as they always say, right, can a woman have it all? No, she can't. Yes, maybe she can, but not all at once. And I think for me, it's recognizing that at the end of the day, why am I holding so tightly to certain things in my life, at work or at home, And is it because I'm feeding a part of me that is, I don't know, like I'm not willing to let it go because, you know, I would feel that my self-worth would be taken away from me. What is it? And I had to come to terms very honestly with myself and almost peel my fingers, you know, finger by finger, peel open my palm to really let go of certain parts of my life that I feel should not be a priority in this season. So, yeah, that was motherhood has been eye-opening and brought so much joy, but also really helped me discover so much more about myself, my deepest desires, and, yeah, what I need to work on.
I just feel like we need that moment to pause because that was, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. And I really, I mean, I'm a little teary-eyed right now, you know, that it's so true that, you know, I mean, oftentimes we do lose the plot, right? And we don't really know that we are. And again, our damn defenses that we put up because of whatever, right? Yeah. We're just trying to protect our self, our identity, whatever it is. And then we completely lose the plot. And sometimes it does take someone to just, you know, shake us and to make
truly
us see,
shake you up. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amazing. So has, you know, have the last couple months been, you know, just this rebuilding energy? Have you been in a good place?
So it's really been, you know, a very intentional journey where, you know, I was also asking myself, how can I also instill habits or routines that would ensure that, you know, I'm not going to just wait for chance or when I feel like it to do something with my husband to build this part of my life. So I realized that, you know, at work, especially for us in Le Bonito, every week we have one-on-one sessions with our team members or our managers where we get that one-on-one catch-up session where we talk about, okay, how our week has been, what I'm going through, my struggles, you know, to just share openly. And I realized that, wow, okay, why don't I do this with my husband as well, where we really set aside intentional time to talk through. You know, it's almost like when this happened, the email from my husband, in the past 2 months, we actually don't know what happened to each other's lives. And actually, one of the things he said in his email to me was, I actually had to find out about what you're doing with your work through your LinkedIn posts. Mm. Or where I realized that you opened a store through your LinkedIn posts. I realized that you're opening up a new market through your LinkedIn posts. Steph, that really, really broke me. And anyways, I decided to set up that routine, that weekly habit where we'll just sit down, you know, put aside everything and just that 45 minutes of solid talking, like, you know, what I'm going through, how this week has been, the wins, the lessons, you know, how, these are areas that I need help with, that I'm struggling with. And really essentially taking that playbook or that framework from, you know, what we do in catch-ups one-on-one in Le Bonito. So that has been helpful, really, you know, to slowly rebuild and, you know, taking time out to also do what each other loves. You know, Leo loves to, you know, head out to, you know, check out certain cool eateries, you know, and things like that. And for me, it's really making time to give him that time of the day because that's his love language, you know. And yeah, talking through things, encouraging each other, like, you know, hey, you did that for me and I really appreciate it. And that means so much. You realize that a little goes a long, long way.
Mm. Some people just want to be seen and heard as well, right?
You're absolutely right.
Wow.
Absolutely right.
And it's weird that sometimes you feel like you are hearing them or you are seeing them on your perspective, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, it does slap you across the face when it's like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing enough at this moment. Like, hello, let's take responsibility and ownership.
And if this is important enough for me, I'm going to do something about it.
Beautiful, babe.
Mm.
Thank you so much for sharing so much of your, you know, personal journey with us. I mean, that was so inspirational for me. And I
thank you,
I'm sure to our listeners as well. Thank you so much for being on the Listening podcast. Are there any like last comments or remarks before we close this session out?
No, I think, you know, I'm truly so grateful for this opportunity to sit down and, you know, look you in the eye the last however many minutes we have had and to really, you know, pour out, you know, aspects of my life to you. Thank you for creating this safe space, for holding space for us. And through that, you know, also making such a difference and impact to your community, your listeners. What you do is really so much needed in this world. And to all of us who are listening in this journey, to also know that we're really not alone. And I really mean it when I say, you know, we may all look different. We may have different careers, different kind of number of children, whatever. But deep down, we're not that different. We're all really the same. We are seeking for purpose, a meaningful life, fulfillment. And I think it really starts with spending time with the most important person in the world, which is ourselves. Mm-hmm. Taking time to really, you know, go through your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, recognizing them, looking at them in plain sight and asking ourselves, okay, why did I think it certain way? Is this what I want to continue to become? Or do I want to change and evolve just into something else? And I think it really starts with that. And you realize that at the end of the day, when you are well, everything around you would benefit and be so impacted positively. And that is all that matters at the end of the day.
Beautiful. It is just a continuous journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? We're just constantly evolving to be the best self that we can be.
Truly we are.
Right? And that ripples out into everyone that we meet, into the communities that we touch. Thank you so much for being part of my community, Rachel.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you. Onwards and upwards, girl.
Likewise.
Take over the world, girl. Let it shine. Let it shine.
You too.
Wasn't that such an enriching conversation? Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for being here and for listening well. If you have any questions or, most importantly, comments, I really would love to hear from you. And you can hit me up on social media at Listening Well Podcast. I really, really would love to hear from you. But most importantly, I am grateful for you if you've made it this far, for tuning in, for resonating with what it is that I'm sharing and really what my intentions are on this journey towards becoming the best self possible. So thank you so, so much. And I hope to see you back here next week for a new episode of Listening Well.